Let's go, girls.
You're listening to Eco Frenzy,
University Radio Nottingham's official sustainability podcast.
Listen live on Saturdays from 3 to 4 p.m. on urn1350.net.
DJ!
This is URN
University
Radio
Nottingham.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Eco Frenzy.
Hello.
Woo woo. Woo.
I'm just going to say this now as we get on air. Erin, you're very, very quiet. Gabby, you're fine. I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think my mic's working.
Okay.
Fun.
Share Gabby's.
Fun. Let's share a mic.
Hello. Oh, that's
we can hear
so
you.
Much better. Hello, listeners.
Hi,
as always,
everyone.
A little bit of tech problems to get the show started. Welcome to Eco Frenzy. It's been a good week. We've got lots of things to catch you up on, starting with the Student Radio Awards,
woo.
Which, if you've listened in before, hopefully you've heard that we were nominated for Best Podcast. Sadly, haven't come away with a win, but still, we are top six in student radio.
Exactly, and we were very happy to be nominated. Like, we were not even expecting to be nominated, so we were not screaming, crying, or throwing up at the fact that we didn't win. Although, we have been scheming. We have, this afternoon, pre-show, have been scheming our win for next year.
Yes. Of course. But it's really exciting. So we were all there in London, dressed up fancy. You will be seeing pictures very soon. We're just waiting to see if we can get any of the official pictures back that we took. I love that we did one with the girls of the station.
Yeah, I liked our little women of URN photo.
Yes.
It was really nice.
Was I in that one?
Yes, you were.
Yes, you were. That was when we were all falling over because there were too many of us.
And we all had to, like, squish
yes.
in.
Yes, that was the official one. Sorry, I'm on the right. I'm not thinking.
Georgia knows what we're on about now.
We've all
She's
had
been
a very
up.
Long week of late nights. We did not get back to Nottingham
until 4 a.m.
Until 4 a.m. Thursday morning.
Yes.
Having left Nottingham at 12:15 in the afternoon on Wednesday.
Mm.
So it was a very long day. And
it
I
was
still
long.
Have not recovered.
No, and we went out to Ocean last night to celebrate, which was very fun, but that is why I don't have much of a voice.
Yeah, we did lots of singing and lots
a classic,
of shouting.
Erin's lost her voice moment.
Yeah, it does sounds really nice though. Like,
Thank you
have a really nice husky voice.
I think I do. I want to keep it. Maybe that's my, like, selling point.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's your unique. Everyone's like, oh my God, that girl with the husky voice on radio.
It's also how they can tell us apart now. Because the husky one is Erin.
I'm the husky one.
Yeah, to be fair, when we've talked to a couple people and everyone does say they do struggle to tell us apart on air.
Would we like to say our names and who we are?
Oh, yeah. I'm Erin.
I'm Gabby.
And I'm Georgia.
Lovely. So, introductions are now out the way. We want to do something a little bit different, a little bit fun, because as we said, we've had a very fun week. Gabby has prepared a bit of a quiz for us.
It's a recycling quiz.
It is.
I've made it myself.
So if you would like to join in, please message the show using the message the show function on the website urn1350.net. If you would like to follow us on Instagram and DM us or leave a comment on one of our posts, we are EcoFrenzyURN on Instagram. If you know us personally, send us a text. But we're really excited for this. If you know the answers, as I say, send them in. And Georgia and I will be doing our best. I think I'm going to go move around so I can be next to Georgia so I can't see the questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good idea.
It's going to be a little bit...
We're going to do some shuffling.
Georgia, entertain them while Gabby and I are moving.
What can I entertain you with? I'm recent... Well, I've always been a very much a croc lover. And I'm considering getting another pair of crocs. I already have two. One green, one blue. And I'm thinking about getting a purple one, you know, to stay in with station branding. Thoughts, opinions, message in.
That was such a solid little segment
Love
of just
it.
The right amount of time for us to move seats.
Georgia and I are now sharing a mic, so hopefully it will go well.
Yeah, whoever can get to the mic closest wins the point.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we'll hold it about here, and I think that picks us both up the best.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Cool.
I'm trying to... The quiz... Oh, my God. The chair shuffling.
Today.
It really
it's
is.
Chaos.
The quiz is called, Can You Recycle It?
Da, 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 da,
yeah, I feel like we needed an ident for that.
Do you want some background music, Gabby?
No, I'm fine. actually.
I got my little thing that was perfect.
Yeah, Georgia was perfect.
Georgia was perfect.
Just as she was.
But do you not want to have Life is a Highway playing subtly in the background?
I would. Personally.
I would, yeah, actually.
Because I know how to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to get Erin to put
more shuffling.
More shuffling. I'll continue with my Croc saga. So I really like Crocs. I think they really fit my feet nicely. I think they give enough air to them. They're very multi-purpose. And if they get wet, they're waterproof.
I have noticed that Georgia has taken, in her current pair of Crocs that she's wearing, because she is wearing Crocs right now.
I am.
She's taken the sport mode strap off them.
Just completely off. She's crazy.
She's crazy. She cannot be contained. Georgia, why have you taken the strap off your Crocs?
This is a really, really good question. It's because I broke one of them and I thought I can't have one with sports and one without. And so my blue pair have sports mode well and truly on, but my green pair don't. But my green pair have the little like giblety things, so I think that sort of like brings them up to par with the blue pair. But also, that's also why I want to get a purple pair. Purple pair with sports mode and giblets.
Wow.
Thoughts, welcome.
And I adore this.
I hope you're enjoying Life as a Hideaway in the background.
Okay, so welcome to Can You Recycle It?
Woo!
My voice is so
This hard. Quiz consists of 5 questions, because I don't trust us to not have a little chit-chat with each other after each one. Yeah, is it? Yeah. We're having mic problems. We're just making sure everyone can hear each other. So, first question for Can You Recycle It? Takeaway pizza boxes. The ones that your Domino's pizza come in.
Are we buzzing in? Or are we doing?
Well, make yourself a buzzer. Thank you, Georgia.
You cannot.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
Because the cardboard has been contaminated with grease, which therefore makes it unrecyclable.
Well done. 1 point so to Georgia.
Nice. I'm going to go for a beep noise as my buzzer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Beep, beep.
Erin, you got something to say?
No, I just wanted
you
to practice.
You can't win the point now.
Georgia has already won the point.
Are you keeping track?
Yeah, so I thought, yes, I am keeping track. There's only 5 questions. you cannot recycle pizza boxes because they've been contaminated with the grease. If you've got part of the pizza box that has no grease on it, you can cut the grease bit out and put that bit in the recycling. But generally speaking, if it's got food waste on it and you can't wash it,
yes,
you can't rinse it, you can't recycle it. And you can't wash or rinse cardboard because it will go soggy. Question 2.
We're ready.
You're ready.
Can you recycle Brita filters? You know the.
Sorry.
It's another one to Georgia. Georgia, can you recycle Brita filters?
This is a really good question. You can recycle them if you send them back to Brita, because Brita have a specialist system to recycle them, but you cannot recycle them in your everyday general recycling machinery. No, bins.
Correct.
I did know that one as well.
You could have buzzed in.
My brain's not going that quick. You buzzed before I opened my mouth.
Okay, it's another point
saw me,
to
like,
Georgia.
Short circuit there.
Yeah.
So I heard your noise and I was like.
Question 3. Can you recycle quote unquote compostable plastic or eco-ware plastic?
Beep beep.
Yes, Erin.
This was my. So I accidentally told Gabby to use this as an example because I think
and
it's
I
a
just,
great one.
And honestly, I didn't want to burst her bubble and not put it in the quiz. I don't think
that Georgia
she'd be able to take
that
it.
One for yeah. me. Thank you. So no, you can't. You can't recycle a lot of things that are compostable, environmentally friendly plastic because they need a. Well, okay, you can recycle them, but as Georgia said, in Brita filters, not in your general recycling bins. There are recycling plants that do recycle, but not everyone, and there's a special treatment it has to go through, and it can be quite expensive. So they're great, but it's one of those ones where we need everyone to switch to that, so there's the infrastructure for it, and a lot of the times there isn't. But it's better than plastic anyway, I'd argue, because this is an anti-plastic podcast.
It truly is. Well done, Erin. So
thank
that's
you.
1 point to Erin so far and 2 points to Georgia so far. Question 4. Can you recycle your toothpaste tubes?
Beep, beep.
Yes, Erin.
I think you can not. No, you can. They say you can recycle them on them, and that must be legal. You have to cut the end off and rinse it out, and then I believe that you can recycle both parts of it, but you have to do the snip and rinse.
Is that your final
answer? That's my final answer.
You're half right.
Okay, I'll take it. Do you have to snip and rinse?
You do have to snip and rinse. It's one of these ones that often, it says you can recycle it, but when it makes its way to the recycling plant, it's often not recycled because it's really hard to recycle because it's a mix of metal and plastic.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So even if you take the lid off, so you know the bit that the toothpaste comes out of, that bit's plastic, but like the actual tube is often that very thin metal, like you know, if you do cut it open and rinse it out, you see it's
aluminium.
Aluminium. So it's silver on the inside. So it does say you can recycle it, and it is possible for it to be recycled, but it's so hard to be recycled. There is a high likelihood that it is allegedly not being recycled. Unless you've like separated all the parts out. But and your average person is probably not going to be doing that.
Snip and rinse.
But snip and rinse, generally speaking, snip and rinse is for everything. Just snip and rinse everything. Final question.
Are we on 2-2? Did I get a full point for that?
Yeah. I'm not going to do half points.
We'll keep it interesting.
Yeah.
The tiebreaker question. Can you recycle light bulbs? Yes, Georgia.
Yes, you can, but they have to be recycled again at specialist areas. Most of like the big Tesco's now, they have areas that you can put them in, or if you go to your local recycling point, like if you go to the tip, you can put them there, but there's lots of different materials that are involved in light bulbs. So there's the metal, there's the glass. So yes and no.
Is that your final answer?
It's my final answer.
Again, your answer is correct, but similarly to the toothpaste.
Do you have to split it up into all the bits?
There's another level.
Okay.
So what I have written down, and these ones that I've chosen were like some of the most Googled can you recycle things. Old incandescent light bulbs can't be recycled and should be thrown away with your usual waste. But newer energy efficient bulbs can be taken to specific centres. So buy LED light bulbs whenever you can and take the light bulb then to where it needs to go to be recycled.
And LED light bulbs in general have better... They're just better.
They last
the energy.
They also last a lot longer.
So they're just. I have found they give you better light as well.
Mm. So they're brighter.
Yeah, we just like LED lights.
And they don't take. I find they don't take as much to like. If you have an old light bulb, it takes ages to like warm up. So you've got to have it on for a while before you're getting the full effect of the light that you need.
Which is not efficient energy usage. Especially in this economy. We want to be, you turn it off for a
economy.
Bit. You want the light on for a bit and you want it to work.
Yeah.
Because think about the pounds you are spending when you turn the light on for 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then if you've got a light bulb that you're having to wait for it to warm up, you're having it on for longer, they just use an LED light. And then also you have to buy light bulbs less often, which I feel like that's such a pain to buy, because you always go and you end up buying the wrong one with the wrong fitting, and then you've got to take it back and all of this stuff. So LED light bulbs, the way to go, and can, like Georgia said, be recycled if taken to the correct place. So scores on the doors. In second place we've got Erin with 2 points, and in first place we've got Georgia with 3 points.
Right, we've just got a message from Gabby's dad. We're going to go to a song really quick and then we're going to answer that. We are about to listen to one of George's choices for this week, Girlfriend by Hemlock Springs. And I'm really excited about this because it's not one I've heard before. So enjoy.
This is URN.
We just did a really fun quiz and we got a message in from
Stephen Brown, I believe that's supposed to say, brackets dad.
Yeah, my dad. Hi, dad.
Yeah, absolutely love. And he said, could the boxes, we're talking about pizza boxes here, and how they can't be recycled. And he asked, could the boxes get some greaseproof paper to line it, would protect the cardboard and stop the pizza sticking? Gabby, you are a recycling expert of the day. What's your answer to your father?
Arguably, yes. But I feel like there would still be leakage of pizza grease. I think it would have to, there'd still be leakage of pizza grease, which renders the cardboard box unrecyclable anyway, mm-hmm. and then also the greaseproof paper unrecyclable. So I think if we could come up with a system where that would work,
the idea's got legs, but it needs a little bit of workshopping.
But I support it.
We love it. Dad.
And thanks for using the message the show feature.
If you'd like to message the show, if you're listening to us online at urn1350.net, just there's a little box there that says message to the show. If you text in, we'll get your text. And we love getting your messages.
It comes up on the screen in front of us. It's great.
It's honestly technology these days. It's wonderful. So, bit of a change up. So we've done our little quiz and now we're going to talk about King Charles for a little bit. Because yesterday or the day before, it came out that Buckingham Palace has written a letter to the animal rights campaigners, Peter, to confirm that they will no longer be serving foie gras in royal residences. Quite fun. Bit of a random topic, I know. Bit of a random article to hear. Because us, I don't want to use the word commoners, but us non-royals don't tend to eat foie gras,
I'm going to actually ask if someone, Erin or Georgia, can please explain to me what foie gras is.
So, we just got a message in saying, hi, loving the show today, from Erin's mum. Thanks, mum.
Iconic.
So foie gras is, I believe, some sort of goose liver type thing. I don't eat meat, so... I don't know particularly.
Foie gras is coming to the wrong group of people here, because I'm very fussy and, although do eat meat, other than fish, would not necessarily want to eat a liver of anything. And Georgia is vegetarian, as is Erin.
Yes.
So we're really the wrong group of people to be talking to about foie gras.
It is a liver of duck or goose, and it's fattened in a certain way. So basically they force feed them, and it is horrific. From an animal rights perspective, it's horrific.
That's vile.
Which is why Peter have been campaigning for this for a little while, and it's nice something's happened. And what they have said, like, as a thank you, is that they're going to send a... they've got foie gras, so without this, you know, doesn't have the same meat. I'm guessing it's probably vegetarian. And they're going to send some to the palace as, like, a thanks. Which I think is so sweet.
You know what? If he wants to ban foie gras, he can ban foie gras.
Yeah. And so foie gras in general is banned. So production of it is banned in the UK already, but there isn't a ban on sale of it or importation. So it's, I feel like, typically quite a French thing. And so you can import it over from France and there is no legal issues with that. So the government seems to have taken a stance that we're not the one making the problem, but enjoy your foie gras. Which is interesting. The next thing apparently on Peter's list is that they want to get rid of the ermine? I don't know how to say that. I've only ever seen that word written down, I've realised. I'll go ermine. That's what it looks like to me. For the robes of his coronation next year, King Charles. And they're trying to petition him now to use faux fur instead. And because this is Charles, I think they have got a pretty good chance with that. He has a history of being very environmentally friendly, or trying to, sometimes in weird and wacky ways.
Yeah, at least out, like, because I would argue maybe the banning of foie gras, great for him. Not that many people eating foie gras. Does it really make that big of a difference? But then I suppose maybe it's the publicity. Like, we weren't discussing foie gras before this. Yeah. So maybe it's that.
Yeah, that's true. It is also just a horrible human animal rights thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as we say, Charles, wacky and wonderful
environmental, I guess, things. I know he has a car that runs on cheese rinds and leftovers from wine creation, which is great. Obviously, it's not something that most people can do, but he's got the means and so he's doing it. And I respect that. I do. We talk a lot about how being environmentally friendly is a privilege. He has a lot of privilege and he is using it. And he is, you know, just going along with it and making changes he can make, even though they might be just for him. That's still one less car that's outputting emissions. So every little helps and I'm happy with it. Georgia, I feel like you've got a bit more you want to say about Charles. You're our King Charles expert for the day.
I think this would be a great opportunity to use a certain ident.
Is this what we like to call Georgia's stats? Is this the absolutely famed
stats? Georgia has all of them.
Yes.
It is time for stats. It's time for stats with Georgia.
Yeah, and this is more facts than stats. I'm very sorry to disappoint everyone. There are a few stats, but Charles is often credited for being quite the climate activist, which I would say yes, he is doing quite a lot for the climate, and people say that he was talking about it before his time.
More so than the other royals.
Yeah, agreed. He's apparently started talking about it in 1968, he made his first speech on the environment, 7 years before the phrase global warming was coined by a geoscientist. And that apparently he sort of has been semi-credited with starting the COP meetings, that he used to host a conference on his royal yacht in the Amazon River Delta, which then turned into the Rio Earth Summit, which those then turned into the COPs. So
kind of COP's predecessor.
Yes, predecessor, I would argue. But yeah, he's often been said that he was advocating for concepts such as the circular economy and stuff like that about 30 years before they came into common practice. And how he has already said that he won't be able to do much more climate activism now that he is a monarch. He's already said that he won't have, not that he won't have time for it, but more that he won't be able to, he's not allowed to rock the boat in the same way.
Yeah, it's not in his job description anymore. We know that the monarchs have to be very just neutral on most things. And sadly, the environment is often seen as a political or like a political adjacent issue. And that means that as king, he gets even less leeway and probably can't say as much, do as much, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it seems like if it were up to him, the environment would be the only thing Parliament are talking about.
Yes, and you can go ahead if you want to.
Well, just say something that I find quite frustrating is this politicisation of the environment, because at least the way we see it, we're not climate deniers and therefore don't see it as a political issue because we agree that it's happening. We're not climate deniers. We don't see it as a political issue to be argued over. We see it as something that action needs to be taken on. No matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, you should be wanting to take action on this unless you're a climate denier, which I think, at least in the UK, are pretty fair. Far and few between within politics itself. So I find it quite difficult when you're like, well, this is just a political issue. You know, you can't be talking about this because it's a political issue. But actually, if you look at our politics in the UK, both the current party in power and opposition both have maybe different, but want to put forward legislation to help tackle climate change. And why are we stopping someone who has a great deal of influence being able to talk about that? It's something I find frustrating.
Definitely. And it feels like it's nothing that we can do and change because it's very much, you don't really change the monarchy, do you? I know things have changed throughout time, but it's not going to be something that they want to change because if the monarch, I mean, the fact we even have or don't have a monarch has become a political issue. So if King Charles wants to stay king, I think he's going to do his best to not rock the boat.
Yeah, at least outwardly, I would say he will try. And I would imagine if, because he seems very passionate about it in private as well.
Yes.
And I think he, you know, he might use his meetings that he has with the Prime Minister, whoever that may be, to advocate for that sort of stuff. And that has been proven in historical scandals when the Black Spider memos were leaked in 2004 and 2005. These were letters that he'd sent to several government ministers across the cabinet, and it was basically he was tearing them apart, saying that they're not doing enough about global warming, they're not doing enough about farming, they're not doing enough about social deprivation. And they were sent in a private capacity, and then they got leaked, and apparently it was quite the scandal, but I was 4 years old, so...
Well, and yeah. I was less than that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I think it's, I don't know, I find it hard when, like, he is trying to do a good thing. Mm. He is not always someone who, in my opinion, has been trying to do a good thing. And now he's being stopped from being able to support something that, like I said, he's both in his public life and his private life has been really passionate about. You say that he was one of the first people to bring climate awareness before the term global warming was even being used. He is trying to do a good thing. He's trying to be supportive of an issue that affects everyone, no matter where you sit on the political spectrum, whether you're pro-monarchy, anti-monarchy, where you're conservative, Labour, Republican, Democrat, it affects you. Even if you don't believe in it, it affects you. It's going to affect you. Why are we stopping him trying to influence people for the good? He's trying to influence people for the good. And like I said, I'm not the biggest, personally not the biggest supporter of the monarchy or anything like that. But this was something that I thought, oh, okay, well, at least that's good. At least that's good. And now it's like, well, that's a political issue, so you're not allowed to advocate for it.
It's like it's being taken away from us. Very good thing. So someone has just messaged in and said, should the new Prince of Wales pick up where his father left off? I think that William doesn't have the same passion for this topic that we saw with Charles when he was Prince of Wales. So although it would be nice to see another member of the royal family become the figurehead of this issue and this kind of general campaign, I don't think it's going to be genuine. As genuine as all the things with Charles have been. For like this letter from that they've sent out to Peter is something he, I'm assuming, would have had to approve because it's being sent out under his name to a degree. And it's him doing something small, but still reminding the public that he's there and he cares about the animals and just the environment in general. I don't think if William started being very extremely pro-environment, it would feel the exact same way. I think he is. I think him and Kate, they definitely promote a lot of social issues. That is kind of what they do a lot of the time, is they're, sorry, not promote social issues, promote solving social issues and other things like that. And I think I have seen things of them calling for more change in how we're dealing with global warming and, you know, bettering our responses. But as I said, I don't think it will be as genuine to if they try and spin, you know, William as the new sort of environmentally forward one in the family, because he doesn't have the same history that his dad had. And his dad still has. His dad is still here. He is still...
Yeah.
Able to speak, he is still able to do things. I'm interested to see if he's doing a Christmas speech and if he's gonna drop in a lot of stuff about the environment or not, because especially with the COPs happening sort of like November time, it's still on everyone's minds.
That's very interesting, because I would argue the opposite way, which is probably first time in Eco Frenzy history.
We've never disagreed. Show's cancelled.
I think he is very climately active. I mean, not, I would say maybe not as like, it's not at the forefront, because he does
a lot of other stuff, and that's not his main. So I think that was the point I was trying to make. Maybe we do agree.
Put
that
the show back on air, guys. It's not cancelled, don't worry.
Is that he is, that was almost Charles's thing. William, I always think a lot more with
mental health.
Mental health.
So he did set up the Earthshot Prize, which was on BBC. So him and Kate set that up. And whether that's because Charles was like, you sort of need to do something about climate change because you're activating. That's all right. This is something that maybe you're not talking about. So yeah, he does do the Earthshot Prize, which is a very, very cool prize about how like the winners win £1 million towards their idea, and the whole point of it is that you enter in a way to solve a climate or environmental problem, and if your solution wins, you win £1 million to go and fund that idea.
Great.
And it was televised for like the first time earlier in the year. It was on the BBC. I remember watching it.
That sounds like a really nice scheme.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting one. And I think the monarchy do kind of have a role in promoting taking care of the environment, just because they have done. Particularly now Charles is king. I think in general, probably not. But now Charles is king, I think they're going to continue. And we might see more of these things crop up, because it might be that he's like, I can't do it myself. But he has many family members he can ask.
Well, yeah, and I think it's interesting that so all of his other family members are allowed to have their... they all seem to have their thing that they're, like, an activist for. His just happens to be the environment that happens to be seen as a political issue, unlike mental health, maybe isn't seen as such a political issue. Mm. So his gets taken away from him, almost. Yes. It's been a sustained interest of him. It's always been the thing that's been associated with him. Like when you guys say that, oh, but, you know, William's associated more with mental health. You just know. Mm. You just know it. And I find it, just because it's seen as a political issue, he's going to have to find something new to be an activist about that isn't so pressing, that isn't so important. And it then just feels a little pointless.
It does. Right, I think it's time for a song. I think we've reached that point. This is Son of a Preacher Man by Dusty Springfield. Please enjoy it, because we are going to enjoy it here in the studio.
On campus.
And online.
And online.
Check it out.
This
is URN.
Welcome back. You are listening to Eco Frenzy. It is a Saturday afternoon. It is almost 3:45, and we're having a lovely day. We have just heard that maybe the mic might be fixed. Okay, are you ready for the test? Hello.
Yes. Yay! Yes. We can now all each individually have a mic.
This is amazing. This is revolutionary. Thank you so much, Joe Banks. We love you here on Eco Frenzy. Georgia.
Yes.
What are we doing in this last bit of our show?
We're going to be talking about COP, because I think it's very relevant. COP, if you've not heard of it, COP is the climate change conference that is sort of going on now. It was meant to finish. I'll get back to that later. If you remember last year, it was being held in Glasgow. There was lots of it on the news, but I do have to say I've not seen that much coming around on the headlines. This year it's being hosted.
Both.
Held and hosted in Egypt. There was a bit of controversy before that I saw in the media about how both King Charles and Rishi Sunak were not going to attend, but I am right in thinking that there was a swift U-turn.
Yeah, so Boris Johnson announced that he would be attending, and then I'm sure it's coincidence, Rishi Sunak changed his mind and decided he was going.
Yeah.
I mean, Boris Johnson has been citing COP26 as the thing to remember about his time as Prime Minister. He sees it as a really positive thing that he presided over. He's been mentioning it quite a lot recently. If you want to listen to more about that, sort of the politics side of it, I'd very much recommend the News Agents podcast at the moment. They've been talking about it quite a lot. Boris Johnson talking about COP26 and how that's the thing that he's focusing on over his prime ministership, and then Rishi Sunak suddenly deciding that he's going. So Charles couldn't go for partly what we discussed in the previous segment of it's been a politicised issue. And then Rishi Sunak wasn't going and then was going and I believe is there at the moment.
Well, yeah, not anymore. I think he's in Ukraine at the moment.
Oh, fair play.
But yes, so it normally COP lasts about a week. There's lots of meetings and talks and presentations all about climate change, the impacts and things that that the UN countries that are part of the UN need to do to change and mitigate for the damages of climate change. So the COP27, which is going on now, has actually been extended for a week, which is quite historic because that doesn't normally happen. And the reason why that has happened is because there's supposed to be an agreement, a deal that is being signed by all 200 of the countries, and it's been 2 weeks of negotiations and they still have not come to an agreement. And this big disagreement is all about a new fund that the UN want to set up to help countries deal with the immediate impacts of climate change. It's known as loss and damage. There's lots of disagreements about whether it should go ahead, whether it shouldn't, who's going to be funding it, which countries deserve it more than others. It's just not going very well because all of the companies that normally attend COP have left. All of the sort of facilities have been packed up. All of the governmental ministers and key players have all left. So it's just the delegates and negotiators who are left who are desperately trying to broker this agreement because it was the one thing that they said was going to come out of COP27. And a lot of countries are saying we either do a bad deal or like there's no point doing a bad deal, we might as well just have no deal at all. There's countries that are saying this is the way forward. There's, you know, it's a lot of back and forth and no one can agree. So there's actually, it doesn't look like there's going to be an end in sight to COP27 as of yet.
Interesting. Do we know any specifics on what it is that they're arguing about? Do we know that, or is that being kept hush and we just sort of know that they're not quite being able to come to an agreement on something?
Well, I think it's because we don't know a lot, but there is a sticking point in the fact that countries that have maybe had more of an impact on climate change are being held responsible for the financing and they don't necessarily want to do that,
which is a shame because they're the countries that I feel like we want to support right now, and it makes sense for the countries that have done most of the damage to be the ones, you know, financing it and helping out other countries. And the countries that have done a lot of the damage tend to be ones who are more able to give aid because this is giving aid.
Yeah.
Are the countries that are more able to do so, which is frustrating.
Yes. And there is sort of like a difference between the ones that want to pay and the ones that don't. So there's sort of a definition at the moment of like the ones that should is the developed countries. And currently that doesn't include emerging economies such as India, China, Brazil. And there's a lot of advocating for them to be included in the funders. And they don't want to be included in it because they don't want to have to pay a very, very large amount of money, which I think they should personally, but, you know, I can understand from a government perspective, nobody wants to pay any money, so having to pay billions of pounds.
Especially in the current economic climate.
Especially in this economy, as we like to say.
In this economy. It's really hard to know where to put the money. We, on Eco Frenzy, will always advocate for putting money towards the environment, but there are a lot of people who don't agree with that.
For lots of others
and for lots of different reasons and not necessarily invalid reasons.
They've got more pressing matters about their day-to-day lives and how to get through it for the general public, so I understand why the climate is often pushed to the side.
It's hard to see the big picture
yes
when there are people who can't feed their children
and are working a full-time job. And then the idea of having, I can understand, although we may agree with those governments paying towards this, we may agree with that, we can understand that it's almost sometimes between a rock and a hard place. Could life be made easier for these people? Yes. Could they be doing a better job? Yes. But what comes out of it in the public, in the eyes of the public, they go, well, why are you bothering with that when I can't feed my children?
Yeah.
Which it's hard to argue with. That's a hard thing to argue with.
Mm. Yeah. And there's a few other, that's the main point that is being discussed. There's also the phasing out of all fossil fuels. And this discussion almost caused COP last year to fall apart, but they managed to sort it out. And I think you guys will find this quite funny, that the main sticking point is the wording. So
typical.
Richer countries wanted to phase out the use of the most polluting fossil fuels. Larger developing economies did not. There was a frantic huddle, apparently, as all the diplomats tried to find a compromise. And they settled on the word phasing down rather than phasing out.
Ugh.
Because they didn't like the fact that they would have to stop using fossil fuels.
It's a start, but it's not an end. That's what I'll say about that.
Yeah, and it's eventually is going to have to be the phrasing phased out. Like, eventually they're going to have to use that phrasing. So just do it now. Start. Get on with it.
Okay. Sorry, we just had a bit of background noise there.
We hope that people can't hear the background noise because we have some strange individual members of URN.
Hooligans.
Screaming. Hooligans. The sports show is on after. and they're doing a World Cup special, so hooligans is the right word. Anyway, Georgia, let's not get distracted.
Yes. I've now lost my train of thought.
It has thrown us a bit.
I'm so sorry. Yes. So yes, there's still agreements going on. The EU is one of the few people that are pro having the reparation fund, and they're trying to get other countries to be included into it. But I don't know if the UK is being included in that because it is the EU and we are no longer a part of that.
Well, I've not seen a lot of media surrounding COP27 this year. Part of why we've not had like a whole individual episode dedicated to it. We've had segments sort of over the past three or so weeks, but we've not had a whole episode dedicated to it like we did last year with COP26, because there's not really been a lot of media around it. It's not come across as such a big deal, and I think also we feel quite disillusioned with what happened last year, that I at least find it a little bit depressing.
I would argue that some of the lack of media coverage is because it's not being held in the UK.
Yes.
And I believe the three of us consume a lot of UK-based media. And so last year, because it was in Glasgow, everyone wanted to talk about it. And Boris Johnson, as we mentioned, talks about it a lot and really praises it for it existing and being in the UK. Something I think, you know, the country's proud of. That we hosted it. It's not this year, so it's been less about the conference itself, more about who's going that we know, who are our representatives, and because there's been a lot of chop and change recently with just everything to do with politics in the UK, I understand how that's kind of overshadowed maybe what's actually come out of COP. And I think the fact that it's been prolonged, it's now in the headlines again, it's become interesting.
Yes. Yeah, if it hadn't been prolonged. I wonder if the deals had been reached and everyone had agreed, whether we'd actually hear anything about it, which is really sad.
Yeah. I think we're pretty much at the end of the show.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, the football show is on next. They're doing a World Cup special. So if you like football, stick around and listen in. We have been Eco-Frenzy. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to listen to this episode again, if you would like to listen to more episodes, you can find us on wherever you get your podcasts. We are on the main URN feeds. If you search URN, you should be able to find us. If not, just type in Eco-Frenzy and hope for the best. We do have a link to it in our Instagram bio. So follow us on Instagram, as always, Eco-Frenzy URN. And I think that is all. Any final thoughts, my two lovely co-hosts?
Make sure you follow us on Instagram for the SRA pictures, because we all looked super cute.
True.
My final thought is Crocs can be recycled.
That's really interesting.
We love to see it.
Yeah, I'm going to end. My final thought is live, laugh, recycle.
Yes.
That's my new slogan that I'm going to really start pushing. This was a choice from Gabby because she watched Love Actually the other day, because it's Christmas already.
It absolutely
I don't care
is.
What anyone says. The Christmas market opened yesterday, I believe, in Luxembourg and in Nottingham. This is Jump, brackets, For My Love by the Pointer Sisters. Enjoy, and we will see you all next week.